merciful King.
Lord, we thank you this morning. Open your mouth and worship the King of Kings. Open your mouth and worship the King of Kings. Worship the Lord of Lords. Worship the exchange of peace. You worship the Lord that sits on the throne, and his eye behold the children of men. You are bigger than what people say.
Jehovah,
bigger than what people say.
You are bigger than what we call you. Jehovah,
bigger than what people say.
Jehovah, excellent, excellent, marvelous.
Hallelujah. If you're happy to be in His presence, I say hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your kindness. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for what you have done for us. We thank you for the gift of life. We thank you for what all and all that you have done that no man can do. Daddy, glory to your name this morning. There are many that wish to be in your presence, but they are nowhere to be found. It is not because of anything that we have done, but your mercy, your grace has found us. Receive glory, Father, this morning. Receive honor this morning. Receive adoration this morning. Receive all thanks this morning in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, King of glory, we commit ourselves into your hands, O God. We ask you, Lord, come and have your way in our lives. Come and have your way in today's service. May only you be seen in today's service. May your name be glorified in today's service. May as many of your children that are still on the way, Lord, every in the footstep, may they arrive in your presence safely. And Lord, we pray, we ask, oh God, that at the end of this service today, every soul, every man, every woman will say of your truth, the Lord has done something new in my life. Thank you because you know you have done it. Thank you because you know you have done it. Thank you because you know you have done it. Glory to your name, Father, in the name of Jesus. Celebrate Jesus by clapping your hands. Sit down and God bless you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. If you are ready to learn this morning, I want your hallelujah to be louder than your neighbor. I say praise God. If you're happy to be in His presence this morning, I say praise God. Hallelujah. Despite the rain, you are here already in His presence. Only that alone, I can say you are righteous. Amen. I say only that alone, I can say you are righteous. Am I permitted to say you are righteous because you are here while others have decided that they are not coming to the presence of God this morning because of the rain? I'm asking. Should I say you are righteous? Okay. Praise God. That means you are a good student. Can you once again appreciate yourself? You are a good student. Hallelujah. May the Lord bless you in the name of Jesus. I want you to tell your neighbor who are not your neighbors that are not coming to Sunday school. Please, always preach to them. Always talk to them that the Lord is doing something great in Sunday school. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? The Lord is doing something great in Sunday school. We are learning a lot in this Sunday school from our pastors and from our wonderful teachers. Praise God. And I know that the knowledge we are gathering from here will never be in vain in our lives in the name of Jesus. Okay, can somebody remind us the topic we are looking at? Let somebody from the floor tell us the topic we are looking at. We need microphone.
What is righteousness?
What is righteousness? Do we agree with her? Let's celebrate her by clapping our hands. What is righteousness? Praise God. Praise God. Now, before we go to what we have today, I would love to remind us what we learned last week Sunday, and the facts we were able to establish. Last week, by the special grace of God, we are able to learn that no man on earth, no woman on earth should claim to be righteous because of what he or she is doing in the house of God. We listed about 7 points, and I would love to remind you about 3 or 4 of them. We agree that righteousness, it has nothing to do with how many numbers you are or you attend church. We also learned that righteousness has nothing to do with the gifts you exercise. You can be a pastor, you can be a prophet, you can be a teacher, but yet you are not righteous. And we also look at that righteousness has nothing to do with how attractive you are, or what and what you are doing, or the area that you are functioning, or the position you occupy in the church. It has nothing to do with righteousness. That was the fact we established. We also established that we have what we call man's own righteousness or self-righteousness. We also say that we have what we call God's own righteousness. And from what we learned last week, we concluded that many people are exhibiting self-righteousness. We also learned that so many churches are establishing their own righteousness. And they have concluded that that is God's own righteousness. But unknown to them, when you look at the real picture of what righteousness is, are far from it. Praise God. I say praise God. We also learned that if someone is not righteous by all these things, then what makes one to be righteous? We said that one is righteous through what? I need somebody to answer us. What makes you and I to be righteous? Or we are righteous through what? Okay, let somebody else. Okay.
Through the righteousness of God.
Okay, we are righteous. The righteousness of God brings the righteousness of God. Or how does one become righteous?
True faith.
True faith.
The word of God.
Praise God. Can you appreciate our sister? Yes. In case you are not okay, or that word is not okay by you, that you are not righteous, or someone cannot be righteous through faith, don't worry. We are done with our 30 days fasting. Am I correct? I believe from next week, or from this week Thursday, we may resume in words in question and answer. But I pray that we should have time to create. Room for questions. Praise God. I say praise God. Now listen and listen to me very carefully. When we say that one becomes righteous by faith, we have proved it from the scripture. The scripture made us to understand that the only way someone can become righteous is nothing but through faith. We saw it in Galatians chapter 3, verse 6. The Bible said that Abraham believed and it was accounted for him for what? For righteousness. So what makes Abraham to become righteous is faith. And it is quite unfortunate that we live in a generation, we live in a world where people don't have interest in righteousness. We live in a world where death through faith has been distorted. That when a man of God stands in the pulpit and said, claim it by faith or receive it by faith, our mindset on the definition of faith only goes to where? Material things. The real faith to have in God is not material things. The real faith to have in God is a faith that makes a sinner to become what? A saint.
What is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So when you say faith is the substance of things you hope for, if I say, for instance, Brother Chibuzo, if I say, for instance, please, I need to balance this statement very well because that is the key word we are using. I need mic, please. I want to ask this brother a question. Yes, Brother Chibuzo, if I said I want to give you 1 million next week, so what would be your reaction? Will you believe me or you will not believe me?
I will believe you.
Huh?
I will believe you.
This brother is lying, telling money. Praise God. You believe I can give you 1 million?
Yes.
Ah. Praise God. I say praise God. Okay, what makes you to believe that I can give you 1 million?
Because I know you will give me.
Because you know I will give you.
Yes.
That is not the true answer. What makes you to believe that I can give you? What makes you to have that faith that I can give you 1 million?
Because of my faith.
Eh?
I have faith that
because he has faith in what? In me. Because of that faith he has in me, automatically he will believe that what? That what I have said, I will do what? I will fulfill it. And that was why when God spoke to Abraham, God told Abraham, leave your father and what? And your mother, or leave your parents' house. Do you know why? Before that, remember that Abraham's parents are idol worshippers. I hope you know. I hope you know. Now, God cannot deal with Abraham. Why Abraham is still with his parents? So the only way God can deal with Abraham is to tell Abraham, leave your father and your mother and go to the land where I will do what? I will show you. Now remember that the land that God spoke to Abraham, Abraham did not know. But Abraham left his what? Let his parents by what? By faith. By faith. Another instance where we saw, the Bible said that when the animals of Lot, his nephew, and his own were having issues, what did God tell Abraham? God told Abraham, for two of you to be in peace, there is a need for what? For separation. Now, the Lord told Abraham, now, you both of you have two places to choose. Anywhere of your choice, you can choose. What was the place, or what is the name of the place Lot chose to go? Sodom and where? And Gomorrah. Now, do you remember that in the book of Hebrew, the Bible made us to understand that why Lot was looking at Sodom and Gomorrah, what was Abraham looking at? Abraham was looking at the city which maker and builder is who? Is God. He was looking at that by what? By faith. Now listen and listen carefully. The totality of Christianity is nothing but what? But by faith. Everything we do, either in or out, everything we do, either presence or absent, either in the house of God or out of the house of God, it is constituted by what? By faith. And it is quite unfortunate that this generation has abandoned their faith and paying more attention to things that are not relevant, things that are not important. Another instance where we saw faith was when Jesus died and he was buried and he resurrected. After the resurrection, he appeared to his disciples. But that first time he appeared to his disciples, one of the disciples was not there. What is his name? Thomas was not there. Now, when Jesus disappeared again, what happened? And the disciple told Thomas that Jesus just resurrected. He just appeared to us now. What was the response of Thomas? Thomas said, I will never believe. Why did he say, I will never believe? He said that until I see where they nail him, until I see that wound, until I see the thing they did to him, I will never believe. Why he was he saying that? What happened? Jesus appeared. And when Jesus appeared, the Bible made us to understand that Jesus stretched out his hand and he said, Thomas, you can see. You can see. You can see. I am not dead. I have resurrected. They will say that I'm dead. They said I have gone. I am not dead because I am the resurrection of what? I am the resurrection of what? And life. And he that believe in me must have what? Life. And Jesus turned to the disciple and he told them, now that Thomas believed that he has seen me, he said, but blessed are those. That is the Christianity. Blessed are those who did not see, but they believe. Blessed are you. That is where Christianity to me started. Because I was not there when Jesus died. You were not there when Jesus died. I was not there when they killed him. People can come over and tell me that Jesus Christ did not die. That he was not dead, he was not. But by faith, I believe that he died for me on the cross. And that faith should bring what we call totality of a change. That faith, hey, somebody is not getting me. Somebody is not getting me. Somebody is not getting me. Praise God. Let me illustrate something. Brother, stand up. Just stand up for a minute. Please, pardon me. I know we have something to do. Amen. Brother, sit down. Just sit here. Amen. I say amen. I need two brothers. Come. Come, 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 quickly. Brother Benga, come. Okay, don't worry, come. Praise God. I want to show you the picture of the generation we are. Brother, stand here. Now, this brother that you see, brother, come. Amen. Amen. Brother, stand here. Now, look at the picture of this brother. Okay? Now, this brother is crippled. God forbid, you will not be crippled. Amen. This brother cannot walk. He can't walk. This is Prophet Sidley. Prophet Sidley is in the house. This is Prophet Sidley. This is Teacher Samuel. Amen. Who is this brother? Prophet Sidley. Who is this brother? Teacher Samuel. Okay. Now, who is this brother? This brother need a change of life. He's a sinner that needs God. Amen. Now, Prophet Sidley has what it takes to make this brother to walk. Amen. Are you ready to make this brother to walk? Give him mic. Let him say something that will make this brother to walk now.
I prophesy over your life in the name of Jesus. Rise up and walk.
Wow. To the glory of God. The brother is already walking to the glory of God. What makes this brother to walk? His faith. But unfortunately, many Christians concentrate on prophesying. As if it's only prophecy that has work to do. Hey, you are not getting me. You are not getting me. Many pay attention. That is the generation where they are consecrated on who? On prophecy, because prophecy do something that Teacher Samuel cannot do. But they have forgotten that no part of the body of Christ is useless. Every part of the body of Christ has something to supply. You cannot go beyond your jurisdiction. You cannot go beyond the area you are called to function. But no part of his body should be neglected. Because all of us operate in the same faith, but in a different levels and different dimensions. If I'm to be God, I will not value prophetically. Do you know I will not value prophetically? Eh? Because this thing prophetically did, devil can do likewise. Oh, you are not getting me. You are not getting me. But it is something Teacher Samuel will do. Prophet Sidney cannot do it. Hey, let me quickly, before they go and sit down, let me quickly narrate a story to you. For you to know that every part of the body is important. Something happened that the part of the body, they had a meeting. They had a meeting for the stomach. The eye said, I'm the one that without me, the body cannot see. The legs say, without me, the body cannot walk. The hands say, without me, the body cannot do anything. So all the parts of the body, they were angry with the stomach. Why were they angry with the stomach? Because they said that it is only the stomach that is collecting the food. And they said that from henceforth, they will never give stomach food. One day, after the one of that day, they were able to stand small. The two of that day, they were able to stand small. But the three, the leg refused to stand. The eye refused to open. And the legs, the hands refused to do things. That was when they realized that every part of the body has something to do. Now look at what Teacher Samuel will do. Teacher Samuel is a teacher. Brother, you will come in the form of a cry. Come in a lonely state. Come in a lonely state. Brother, you are going to preach to this brother. Oh yeah, call him. Talk to him so that he can repent from his sin. Oh yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The book of Mark chapter 16, verse 15, verse 16 says, go into the world and preach the gospel. Anyone that believes and is baptized shall be saved.
Shall be saved. Praise God. Because of time factor, this brother has been what? Has received Christ. Brother, children of God, the testimony of the cripple and the testimony of he that received Christ, which one is greater? You are not responding to me. The testimony that make a sinner to become a saint by faith and the testimony that make a cripple to walk, which one is greater? The Bible made us to understand that if a soul repents, there will be joy in heaven. If a soul, and a soul can only repent, a soul can only become righteous, not by works, but by faith. Because it is by faith that you believe that Jesus died for you on the cross. It is by faith that you realize the pain that you went through. And that faith makes you to say, no, I must know this Jesus. I must serve this Jesus. Whether my pastor is there or my pastor is not there, it is between me and Jesus. Thank you. Celebrate Jesus by clapping your hands. That is why the Bible says, whatever that cometh to you, and if it does not come by faith, the Bible says it is what? It is sin. And faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, look at what Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 say, quickly. Hebrews 11, verse 6, IT. It say what? But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Christianity is by faith. As I round up so that we can go to what we have today, I want you to understand something happened to me in my former place of work. For you to know that Christianity is all about faith. In that my former place of work, I was put in an office. And that office I was put, there were a lot of books there. And these books that were packed in that place, I have the opportunity to take any book of my choice, and nobody can trace it. Nobody can trace it. In fact, I can pack as many books as I want every day I'm going home, and nobody will know that I have taken books from there. But something happened. What happened? Somebody said, ask me what happened. Now, as I was about to make an attempt, a voice spoke to me. Are you a son of God? Are you a child of God? I said, yes, I'm a child of God. I'm a son of God. He said, leave that book. I left the book. The next day, we are summoned in a meeting. And when we are summoned in that meeting, we are told that nobody, no staff, is authorized to take any book out of the school premises without due permission. I don't know if they get my point. I have had a meeting with the Holy Ghost before the meeting was held. So am I walking by instructions or am I walking by faith? Praise God. So which means that Christians are not to live by law. We are both law. We live by grace. We live by faith. We don't move by what people are saying. We don't walk. That's what the Bible said. Christians should live by faith and not by sight. Our lives should be by faith and not by sight. So when a man of God comes to preach to you, brother, sister, the way you are doing things, you are not supposed to do it. That man of God is doing his best. But the right conviction, the perfect conviction, is not from the man of God. It's from God. And when God comes to teach you or to educate you, and if you believe what he's teaching you, then that which you believe will redefine you. So faith redefines you. So faith molds you. So faith transforms you. So faith makes you a Christian. So faith changes the totality of whom you are, not your pastor. Praise God. If I'm talking to you, say amen. If I'm talking to you, say amen. So we are looking at who is righteous. So a person who is righteous is someone who walks by what? By faith. But that faith, for us to know that now you are righteous, we have some attributes. We have some characters that shows that you are righteous. Now, that word righteous can be spared to be what? To be what? R-I-G-H. R-I-G-H, am I correct? T-E-O-U-X. That is how the word righteous is being spelled. So for me to know that you are a righteous brother or a righteous sister, you must possess this character. And each character has something to do. And I told you last week, among all the characters, the best one is the first one, which has to do with what? Let the house stand for what? Right standing with God. So a righteous brother, a righteous sister is one who is in a right stand with who? With God. So the question we have to ask ourselves this morning, are we in a right stand with God or not? To be in a right stand with God is to believe the totality or to believe or to stand or to be accepted by God. A man called Job. Job was a man. The Bible says in Job chapter 1 verse 1, the Bible referred him to be a man who is upright. In another word, Bible referred him to be a man who is in a right stand with God. IT, give me that picture to postulate the point. Look at this picture on the screen. IT, give me the picture. No, not this picture. Not this picture, please. Oh, not this picture. Uh-huh. Now look at this picture. Are you seeing the picture? Are you seeing the picture on the screen? What makes that picture to be like that? That picture is like that because of time. Because there is no proper alignment. Oh, you are not getting me. That picture is like that because what? There is no proper what? Alignment. For those of you that have cars, before you can embark on a far journey, I tell leave that picture. Before you can embark on a far journey, they will tell you to take your vehicle to where? To a mechanic. And the mechanic will help your what? Will help to align your tires. Am I correct? Now, why is the mechanic doing that? The mechanic is doing that so that the weight of the vehicle will not rest on one part of the vehicle. Am I correct? So, and if that vehicle is not properly aligned, then there will be a problem along the way. Praise God. So we live in a generation where so many Christians are like this. Where so many Christians are what? Are broken into two. Because why? They refuse to stand in the right way with God. They refuse to align their lives with God. So as a Christian, you have no choice. I have no choice. If truly I want to be a righteous brother, I want to be a righteous sister, I must fight every tooth and nail to ensure that my life is in alignment with the words of God. And once your life is aligned with the word of God, automatically, this bridge or this thing you are, this picture you are seeing on the screen will be in a proper condition. And the only way this thing can be in a proper condition is when it is properly aligned with the word of God. Praise God. I say praise God. Let's go to the next point. What is the next point? Letter I. Letter I is what? Intimate. Of what? Or inward fellowship. Or relationship with God. A righteous brother, a righteous sister is one who is in true relationship with God. It is unfortunate, highly unfortunate that we live in a generation where so many people are in relationship with their pastor, but very far in relationship with God. So your relationship or your closeness with anything or with your pastor, with your teacher, with whoever has nothing to do with God. But the only thing that has something to do with God is when you are in true relationship with him. And you know, a true relationship, I.T., give me that picture that looks like Jesus and Son. Look at this picture. I'm not telling that this is Jesus. So I hope you know this is not Jesus. I hope you know this is not Jesus. I hope you know this is not Jesus. So that you don't say this is my Jesus, then put it in your house and begin to worship. Praise God. Now, if you can see that picture on the screen, you notice that that man is very, he carried his son to where? To his bosom, am I correct? Now, that is the picture that depicts close intimates. That is the picture that depicts close relationship. So a Christian or a brother or a sister must understand that his righteousness, or for him to be righteous, for her to be righteous, it requires a close relationship. It is unfortunate that we live in a generation where people are very far when it comes to relationship with God. Do everything possible to be in relationship with God. Because when you are in relationship with God, automatically, God will treat you like a son. God will treat you like a daughter. Praise God. The Bible says something that, have you seen where a son will ask his father, I need fish, and the father will give him serpent? He said, no. Have you seen where he will ask for bread and the father will give him stone? No. But the Bible said that although being a wicked father, but he knows how to give good things to what? To his children. Why? Because he is in a relationship with his what? Children. And a true father can never tell his son or her daughter to go and put his hand inside where? Inside fire. Because why? There is a relationship between him and what? And his children. And that is how God wants you and I to relate to him. He wants you and I to relate to him like father, like son, like father, like daughter. And when you come to that state of being intimate with him, automatically, it teaches you the step of righteousness. It makes you to become righteous. And that is why in John chapter 15, verse 5 to 6, it says, abide in me and I will do what? I will abide in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit until it abides in the vine. So likewise you, you cannot bear fruit. You can't do what is being expected of you as a Christian, as a brother, unless you abide with him. Abiding with him is to be in true relationship with him. Give me Ephesians chapter 3, Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. Philippians 3, verse 10. What did he say? Philippians 3, that I may know him and the power of his word, of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his word, of his suffering, being made conformable unto his word, unto his death. So are you in relationship with God? Many people in this generation have ascribed themselves to be righteous because they are in true relationship with their pastor. Praise God. No matter how our PA is close to our pastor, that does not make him to be what? To be righteous. Hallelujah. What is the next line? What is the next point? What is the next point? Government, am I correct? The next point is government. Praise God. Now, when we talk about government, all of us will know what government is all about. What is government? Government is a body or a group of people that do what? That controls the affairs of what? Of a nation, of a country. So no country exists. No country thrives. No country becomes what it is if that country does not have government. So there must be a group of people who are set aside to ensure that things are moving the way it should be in that country. Do you know there is something that our president cannot do? He may do other things in secret. Our president cannot take up gun and say, go and shoot it, that brother. You know why? He can't do that because there's something called law of what? Law of the land or the supremacy of law. What is the supremacy of law? The supremacy of law teaches us that nobody is above. Oh, you're not responding to me. Nobody is above the law. In a real sense, if truly law is functioning the way it should in this country, there are things that are going on in this country that are not supposed to be going on. If you go to Western world, you will see where government is truly in what? In practice, where they enforce on certain things to make sure that everybody obeys. But there is a government that is above other governments. Hallelujah. I say there is a government that is a what? Above other government. And that government is ruled dominated and controlled by who? By God. Praise God. Look at Psalm 22, verse 28. Psalm 22, verse 28. What did he say? He said, for the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is one, the governor among the nations. He is the head of all governors. He is the head of all presidents. He is the one that controls everything that ever exists or that is existing. And for me to say you are a righteous brother, a righteous sister, you must subject yourself to the government of God. It is unfortunate that, yes, we claim to be Christian, we claim to be righteous, but we find it difficult to be subjected to the government of God. No! The government of God has our own principle, has our way of doing things. It has our way of functioning, our way of moving. So for me or you to say truly we are righteous, we must do everything possible to understand what the government of God is saying. It is what the government of God is saying that becomes something that should dictate for us what to do and what not to do. And what is the government of God? The government of God is what? Is his word. Is his word. I appreciate God by clapping your hands. I didn't say you should clap for me. I said clap for Jesus. Praise God. Don't be so much subjected to the government of men and leaving the government of God unattended to. Don't be so much a rule by the government of men and leaving the government of God behind. In every aspect of our life, we must come to a state of asking ourselves, what is the government of God saying? Give me that picture. Give me that picture where there are many people with one pair of hands. Look at this. You can see this picture. That person that is sitting there is our God. And those people that you see with their crown are Christians. You can see them surrendering their crowns to who? To God. Surrendering their crowns to God. Your righteousness is your ability to submit yourself to the government of God. Hallelujah. Let's go to the next point. What is the next letter? Shout it, everybody. What is the next letter? The next letter is holiness. And this is where so many people have missed it. Many people believe that righteousness is the same thing as holiness. No, righteousness is not the same thing as holiness. Holiness is to be set aside for God's use. But righteousness needs to be right. To be in a right state with God. So which means that you can practice holiness, but yet you are not righteous. We have so many churches that practice holiness, but righteousness is far from them. Many churches, I don't want to mention. If you look at them, you will think that if you are not careful, you will think that this brother, this sister is righteous. No. You are not fornicating. You are not committing adultery. You are not smoking. You are not doing all this and all that and all that. All these things are holiness. You must grow beyond holiness and enter righteousness. If you want to clap, clap for Jesus. You must grow beyond holiness. All our sisters, if you look at all our sisters, the way they are dressed, the way they are, I can refer all of you to be holy sisters. Holy sisters in the Lord. But you should not stop it here. Go beyond holiness and enter righteousness. To enter righteousness is to believe the totality of the word of God. There are brothers and sisters who are holy. If you open scripture for them, they can fight you. They can fight you. Because why? You open a scripture to them. The only thing they are practicing is holiness. And the worst part of it is that some of them that claim this holiness, they claim this holiness based on what their pastor has taught them, based on what their pastor has put them through. But unknown to them that what they are practicing is their pastor holiness, not God's own holiness. Praise God. But as a Christian, as we are, We are expected to be holy. We are expected to be holy. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 to what? Verse 15 to 16. It says, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Verse 16, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Romans chapter what? I mean Hebrew chapter 12, verse 14. What did he say? Hebrew 12, 14. Quickly. He said, follow peace with all men and holiness with that which no man shall see the Lord. Praise God. What is the next letter we are? What is the next letter we are? The next letter is ethics. The next letter is letter T. The totality of God's word. The totality of God's word. See, these things I wrote here, it has been inspired by God. I didn't get it from anywhere. I was asking God, what is righteousness? It is the Lord that taught me this. I appreciate God for that. And no man of God can tell me that this is not righteousness. This is nothing but what? Righteous. I'm teaching you righteousness. So if you want to be righteous, if I want to be righteous, this is the requirement, or this is what I need to do to become righteous. The totality of God's word. The God's word is God himself. I hope you know. In the beginning was the word. And the word was with God. And the word is who? Is God. Hallelujah. So God is what? God is the word. And the Bible said in Hebrew chapter what? Chapter 4 verse 12. What did he say? Hebrew chapter 4 verse 12. He said what? For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Who can pierce ever to what? To the dividing asunder of soul and what? And spirit and of joints and of marrow. And it is what? Designer of the thoughts and the intents of what? Of the hearts of men. That is the word of God. Praise God. The word of God is alive and what? And active. And a true righteous man, a true righteous woman must come to the totality of the word. Must agree with the word. Because righteousness is God himself. Righteousness is Christ himself. And Christ himself is the word. And for me to know that you are righteous, you must not dispute the word. The evidence that you are a righteous brother, you are a righteous sister, you must believe the totality of the word of God. So when you open a scripture, when you open a Bible for a brother, for a sister, and that sister and that brother is fighting you, he said, no. This one is for the people of the Corinthians. This one is for the people of the Galatians. Check very well. Something is wrong with his righteousness. Something is wrong with our righteousness. The evidence of our righteousness is that she believed the word of God. Give me that picture of that man surrendering to the word of God. Praise God. You can see this is a man who has regard to the totality of the word of God. He look at the world and is beholding the beauty of the word. You can see the light of the world, because Jesus said, you are the light of the world. And Jesus is the light of the world. And the word of God is the light of the world. And when that word of God comes to you, it reproves you. When that word of God comes to you, it puts you where you're supposed to belong. When that word of God comes to you, you receive it and stand on it. I say, truly, this is the word of God. Why do we have people that fight the word of God? It's an evidence that they are not righteous. The next point is what? Ethics. Ethics. What is ethics? Ethics talks about the rules and regulations. The rules and regulations. A Christian brother, a Christian sister must stand on the rules and regulations of the world. You must know what the Bible says. Praise God. Please help me. This is the ethics of God. I hope you know. This is God's ethics. These are the rules and regulations of the world, of God. So for me to know that you are a righteous brother, a righteous sister, we must aspire and fight to know the ethics of God. Because in every profession, there are ethics. We have ethics of teaching. We have pastoral ethics. Even in sitting in the altar, you see the people that are sitting in the altar. They have their own ethics. Our pastor has his own ethics. Everybody has their own ethics. But we have one ethics when it comes to God. So there's no church in all over the world that should tell me this is their own doctrine. There's no church all over the world that should tell me this is what we believe. If what they believe contradicts the Bible, drop what they say. Follow the Bible. Because the Bible is the absolute. The Bible is the absolute. I don't believe how much that church have. I don't believe how much you think they have, how many jets they have, or what they are saying. Even if what they are saying looks so interesting, even if what they are saying looks so sweet, and it contradicts God's ethics, leave that nonsense and follow the word. Praise God. There is a man in Rome called Pope. They are referring him to be infallible. Infallible means that one that cannot make a mistake. They are referring to be that anything he says is final. But I'm here to let you know that it is not all that Pope say is final. 99% of what he say is error. It's not in the Bible. Praise God. I say praise God. So if anybody come, the Bible say, curse be to that man, curse be to that woman who preaches anything contrary, who say anything contrary to what the world have said. He said, even if an angel comes from above and says something against the Bible, he said, curse be to that angel. Because Apostle Paul was sure of God's ethics. He was sure. So that is why, please give me that scripture. Galatians chapter 1. Is it Galatians chapter 1 verse 8 and 9? Galatians chapter 1 verse 8 and 9. Let's see what it says. He said, but although we or an angel from heaven preach any other ethics, any other gospel unto you that which we have not preached unto you, let him be accursed. So why do you listen to that man of God when you know that man of God is going against ethics of the word of God? Why do you listen? Why do you accept it? You accept it because the righteousness of God is not in you. Praise God. The next one is what? Outward appearance. This is where so many people are being confused. This is where so many Christians, so many people all over the world are being confused by the outward appearance. But I know after these teachings, no matter how you dress, we can never say you are righteous. Am I correct? Don't matter how that sister dress, don't matter how that brother dress, if I sleep with it, if I lie down with it, it has nothing to do with the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God, it belongs to your outward appearance. If you like, when you are going to the altar, as you are walking to the altar, like some of our sisters are doing in this Roman Catholic Church, when they are going to the altar, what do? They walk simultaneously. They are walking quietly. They are walking quietly to go and behold, to go and behold, to go and behold, to go and behold. And when they get that place, they will kneel down quietly. Sister, that is pulpit. That is not what? That is not God's righteousness. But it is part of it. Look at what the Bible says. Give me that fruit that we are looking at last week. Give me that fruit quickly. Now look at this fruit. Praise God. I say praise God. If you can see this fruit very well, you will notice that the fruit is flourishing. Am I correct? You will notice that there is life in that fruit. You will notice that fruit, that tree bear fruit. Am I correct? The evidence that there is life in that fruit comes from where? From the vine. I would love to. Sister, stand up. Praise God. Now, IT, look at this, our sister. I believe, sister, you are looking beautiful. Amen?
Amen.
And you decided to dress in this way. Because why? Why do you decide to dress in this way?
Because I'm coming to the presence of God.
You are coming to the presence of God. Now, listen and listen carefully. I'm not trying to dispute the fact that this is part of righteousness. That the way she dressed is part of righteousness. Why I say it's part of righteousness is because the Bible says something in Matthew chapter 7 verse what? Matthew 7 verse 15. What did he say? He said, beware of false prophets which come to you in what? In sheep's clothing, but inwardly. So they see the question is, please, 1, 2, 3. Join her to stand up. 1, 2, 3. Join her to stand up. Now, camera, capture them. Now, you all are looking beautiful. Am I correct? Now, the beauty, your beauty is what brings about this, the way you dress, or this outward appearance, is because there is something in you. Am I correct? What is in you? There is a vine that is controlling your life. And that vine that is controlling your life is who? Is the Lord Jesus Christ. So because the vine is in you, it teaches you how you are to dress. Am I correct? Now, because it teaches you how you are to dress, that is part of your righteousness. But you can as well dress like this, but yet you are not righteous. Now, why will you dress like this and yet you are not righteous? Because you dress like this to deceive. You dress like this to show the whole world that you are righteous. And that is what happened in so many churches. They dress to be look like righteous woman, righteous brother. But when you go close, and the evidence that they are righteous is what we saw in Matthew chapter 7, verse what? Verse 16. Give me verse 16. What did he say? Sister. What did he say? Matthew 7, 16. He said, you shall know them. Is it by the way they dress? You are not responding. Is it by the way they dress? Is it by the way they dress? The way they dress is not the only way to know them. Because we have witches that are in a church. We have wizards that are in a church. And they dress like Christians. But they are not Christian. But the only way to know them is nothing but by the fruits they bear. Praise God. Praise God. Let's go to the next point. The next point. What's the next letter? Understanding. And after that, we'll go to the next letter. Understanding. One of the things that makes you a righteous brother, a righteous sister, is that you must have understanding. You must understand Christ. A true wife, a true husband, a true wife must understand her what? Her husband. And a true husband must what? Understand her what? Understand his what? His wife. You must understand Christ. And that is why Jesus spoke to his disciple. He said, who do men think I am? And Peter spoke. He said, what? You are what? You are Christ, the Son of the living God. He wants to know if the people that claim to be righteous really understand him or not. Your righteousness is your ability to know whom God is. Not to know who your pastor is. Not to know who your prophet is. You must search for Christ. You must aspire to know Christ. You must aspire to know Christ, not to know church. So many people know their church. So many people believe so much on their church. When it comes to knowing Christ, they are far. As I round off, the next letter is what? Letter S, which has to do with stability. Stability. A righteous brother, a righteous sister cannot be righteous today and be unrighteous tomorrow. You cannot run to God today and run to idol tomorrow. No. You cannot believe God today and disbelieve God tomorrow. Your righteousness brings you to a state of stability. Whether I die or I die. Whether I perish or I perish. Bow your head. Let's pray. Bow your head. Let's pray. Praise God. Bow your head. Begin to talk to God. Tell God.